What's up, everybody? Ashley here. Welcome to Love Me, where we're breaking generational curses and empowering ourselves to love ourselves. On this episode, we're going to talk about habits, how they affect us, and how we can use our subconscious habits to reach our goals. Please go rate this episode and also subscribe to the YouTube Official Love Me podcast. And just a quick disclaimer, this episode will have more profanity than normal, so if there's kids around, cover their ears. Picture a traumatic event from your past, one where someone really upsets you. You remember so many details of it, every emotion you felt. Your heart starts pounding, and you start to relive that moment. Feel it again as if you're back in that place physically, mentally, or emotionally. Stop that shit. See, this is a habit that we do or don't realize we fall back into, reliving the emotions from our past, and it becomes our present. And it's a huge factor of what holds us back in life. We're not on the same wave as Kanye when he said, "I'm living in the future, so the presence is my past. My presence is a present, kiss my ass." Anyways, that's how these habits present, no pun intended, themselves in our lives repetitively. They can make it seem near impossible to change, where we're blaming everything outside of ourselves versus looking within. Dr. Joe Dispenza, author of Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, which is a great book, said, by the time we're 35 years old, 95% of who we are is a memorized set of behaviors, emotional reactions, unconscious habits, and hardwired attitudes, beliefs, and perceptions. Like, that shit is wild, man. Meaning a majority of our standards of who we are comes from the people we're around, other people's and society's beliefs, and a plethora of other factors outside of ourselves that just shape our perception and how we think. Sometimes we have to reassess ourselves and look deeper, which isn't always easy, but putting in the work is definitely worth it, especially when it comes to bad habits. Most of us think a habit is strictly biting our nails, nervous tics, or a number of physically presenting movements. Yes, those are habits, but there's levels to this shit. Dr. Dispenza also said that a habit is a redundant set of automatic, unconscious thoughts, behaviors, and emotions that's acquired through repetition. All right, so let me break it down to you real quick. In one of our past episodes called Autopilot, we talked about doing things repeatedly so many times that our bodies go into autopilot and do it better than our minds. Listen, like back in 2013, I had this crazy ass RDC in boot camp. An RDC is basically like an army drill sergeant. And he said, "Your mind is weak, but your body is strong." I was like, "Hell nah, fam. I'm smart as fuck, but, he was onto something." But I bet you beg to differ. If you were able to think of that traumatic event or a moment that brought you back all those emotions that we talked about back at the beginning of this episode, that statement is right. Now, it's not 100% right 100% of the time, because we can very much change that and break our old habits. Also, we all wake up and have a gang of thoughts as soon as we get up and we're moving around. Those thoughts are sometimes tied to our past, so we're already presently not present. You know that feeling when your heart starts racing? You feel it in your mind first before your body. Now, I won't get too deep into the neocortex and norepinephrine, dopamine, and all that right now, but basically our bodies release hormones. They go to different parts of our bodies, and we feel them unconsciously. We unconsciously feel emotions again. We feel these emotions. This is because we unconsciously play those events over and over and over again, and our subconscious picks it up. These chemicals released from our brains can have a greater impact on our bodies than we think. And the deeper the emotional charge, the more we react to the event. These memories from our past, from the time we wake up to the time we go to sleep, we're reliving and firing and rewiring the neural pathways the same way as when we initially encountered this event. As a result, our past definitely leaves a mark and has a presence. Y'all, that's crazy. I never truly understood these concepts until, you know, well into my 30s now. I had an idea and a glimpse of it, but it took time and a lot of research and a lot of, not soul searching, but looking into the mirror and a lot of self-reflection, getting to know myself. So another thing that Dr. Dispenza, he's dropped a lot of gems that we got to get. He said the familiar past will sooner or later be our predictable future. The way to break that down is those emotions that we have from the past that are so repetitive that we keep reliving when any small little thing happens that's similar, or a color of a shirt or a song or a food or a smell brings back that memory from that trauma, anything that brings it back, we relive it. But we're going to keep reliving it in our future. So it doesn't stay in the past. We know how you say the past is in the past. You know, we'd be talking mad shit. Yeah, the past is in the past. But really, that past is our ever-present future. And we have to be mindful that, like, it's hard putting in the work and trying to adjust fire in your life to be able to go on. It's crazy, but it's not impossible. And no doubt we don't see the things that we do in our lives, like foreshadowing how our days will go, because we wake up on the wrong side of the bed, or we're watching the news or social media, and those things are impacting us in our minds and our subconscious minds. So what you're watching, positive or negative, affects your outlook on that day. You can say your outlook on life, but let's look at the shorter picture, not the bigger picture, and just one page, your day, your morning, your afternoon, like all of those trickle down to one another as it goes on. And we go into autopilot, like this autopilot state, when we're on our phones, eating certain food or other forms of instant gratification, and still left wanting more than the next time, which is those dopamine rushes. In essence, our habits can be an addiction. On one hand, we can get addicted to our normal state of being because our subconscious is processing this data of our daily lives and continues to automate our behaviors. As we mentioned earlier, being in the habit and feeling certain feelings and going through the motions in an autopilot, it's in essence automating our everyday lives. And we don't realize it sometimes because we're so used to going through the motions. We all have this saying, I'm just going through the motions. There comes a point where you snap out of going through the motions when you're realizing going through the motions isn't serving you. So where do we go from here? Well, I'm glad you asked. On the other hand, one way that we can break the habit of being ourselves is to realize that we can create a new reality. No, not a whole new world. We're not in Aladdin, but our attitude and perspective can change the lens of how we see life. Looking through the lens of an attitude of gratitude, as we mentioned in the previous episode, is one of the ways to do that. Another thing is to realize that we only use our conscious mind 5% of the time. Y'all, we are like walking zombies 95% of the time. And I'm not going to say everybody, but a majority of us in the world are walking around, looking down at our phones and walking, or just walking to our jobs or driving to work. And we don't know how in the hell we got there. We blink and then you at the job getting out your car. Didn't notice the traffic on the way, unless you're noticing all the red lights, but you're not noticing the Tesla driving by, or the dog, or the beautiful view of the water, or the sun shining, or the feel of the rain when it's raining and drip dropping on you. Drip, drop. Anyway, but that's a lot, if you really think about it, that you're not actually in control of. 95% just going on autopilot and you're not grabbing the wheel. You can grab the wheel by separating your conscious and your subconscious mind. You know, by telling yourself in your mind what you want it to do. This right here is where that work I was telling you about comes in. You got to put the work in. Yes, it's easier said than done, but it can and will help you live a life of abundance. The way we do that is through meditation and prayer. Everybody has their own thing that they do, right? When it comes to sitting in silence, you know, telling themselves mantras or sitting and praying or meditating. And we have to ask for what we want or create what we want wisely. Pray meaningfully. Well, meaningful meditation, right? This can help you practice slowing down your thoughts. You know, that inner roommate of ours that's always talking a mile a minute, and really create changes in your life. This can slow down our brain waves and make us really be still and not be so go, go, go. Don't wait for something drastic like a loss in your life, some kind of crisis, or more trauma to jolt you into this type of change to want to be a better you. And even if it does happen, don't beat yourself up about it. Take it one day at a time. It's like, why wait? Choosing to make this change in a state of motivation and happiness rather than pain and strain, you can get more clarity with what it is that you want for yourself. Finally, we need to stop looking at the cause and effect model that we're so used to and start causing an effect directly in our lives instead of waiting for outside factors in our lives to dictate how we live. Surely we can cause an effect by visualizing what it is that we want in our future. Envisioning how achieving our goals feel to us and holding that feeling, that good feeling, is a sense of empowerment, which in turn is causing an effect positively. Our subconscious doesn't know the damn difference. Whatever mindset or perspective that we create, our subconscious takes it and runs with it. Like Gary Payton, one of the greatest running backs in history, just running, subconscious, just running. And in fact, similarly to feeling the future, affirmations are a great tool to fuel our present and carry over into our future. It's one of those things that a lot of us don't do, similar to mantras. They help us to overcome self-sabotaging thoughts. Now, that's one of the ways that affirmations can help us. You know, through saying affirmations over and over again, you can help yourself create new thought patterns, positive patterns at that. And again, it's not easy. Just remember, the easiest way to do anything is like eating a whole pie, like a whole ass pie in your face. Not pie to the face, but a pie in your face. How do you eat a pie in one sitting? One slice at a time. There's no rush to live life. There's no rush to love ourselves. Enjoy the process while you can. Love on you. Enjoy this time to reacquaint yourself with yourself. Have you ever noticed how much you learn about yourself when you are uncomfortable while changes were going on? While learning a new skill, going to school, in a new relationship, meeting new friends at a job, or even major changes around us in the world. And y'all know and see everything that's going on right now. Tell me you haven't learned something about yourself in the last how many months? Since March? The last 9-10 months. It's okay. It's okay for your beginning or middle or end to differ from someone else's. It's our personal journey, and that's just beautiful. So, thank you again for joining me. Don't forget, new episodes this Tuesday and every Tuesday, and go ahead and rate this episode. Let's not let our past be our present and leave a presence in our lives. Tend to your own gardens during this change of seasons. You know why? Because I love me. Do you love you? Y'all have a great morning, afternoon, or evening, whatever it is, wherever it is you are.